This will be recorded, and along the way, it will be on our website. And the website is proctormschurchofchrist.com, and you can get that. But you can also pick up a bulletin that's on the table, and you'll have that particular address to you. Good to have you here. Good to see you here. Zane Surratt is going to lead us in our singing, and he'll do this for about 15 minutes or so of time, and we'll roll on with it. The first song is right there on the board, no doubt, along the way, so this is the emphasis we give it. But there are a lot of other songs on the back sheet of that particular page that you have for the song. So he's going to use those to begin with today. Good to see y'all. All right.
Zane, start us out.
All right, I think y'all probably know most of these. I know most of them. So we're going to head through this. And we're going to enjoy ourselves and have a wonderful day praising the Lord and learning about Him, aren't we?
Amen.
Amen. There you go. Now, Brother Ronson, I don't think I remember agreeing to being recorded, but I'll go right along with it.
Yeah, I think you'll be okay.
All right. Well, let's start off. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes. But instead of saying me, I want you to point at yourself. Alright? So Jesus loves, this I know, for the Bible tells. So little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves, yes, Jesus loves. Yes, Jesus loves, the Bible tells me so. Yeah, I messed up. That's all right, though. All right. Next one, we're going to do, trying to see if it's on here. It's not? All right. Well, it's not on here. But if y'all have the sheet here in front of you, everybody, if you don't have one, you need to go back there and get you a sheet.
Yeah.
I mean, raise your hand if you don't have one.
Sure do we know it.
All right. I'm sure we do, but just in case. All right, so that's one. Keep your hands up. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. About nine of them. That'll work. Right. Thank you, fellas. Thank you. Appreciate y'all going and grabbing those for us.
They're giving us helping hands.
That's right. That's what we're all about today, isn't it, Ms. Jane? We're giving our helping hands. That's what we're about today. All right. Well, you'll see the one up there at the top on the back is I have decided to follow Jesus. So if y'all will sing that with me. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though not go with me, I still will follow. Participate, but y'all are going to have to stand up for this one, alright? Come on, everybody stand up. I can see you out of the corner of my eye. I'm watching you. Where's that?
Casket.
There it is. Oh, are y'all ready for this? I don't think you're ready for this. How many of y'all have heard this before?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's not me. We're going to have to do it two or three times, aren't we, so y'all can learn it. Well, I see you, but that's still not a lot of folks. There's a lot of folks back there that aren't raising their hands. All right, let's do this. In the beginning, God made the seas and the forest filled with trees. He made the mountains up so high. At the top, he placed the sky. Fingerprints are everywhere, just to show how much he cares. In the middle, he had some fun. He made a hippo that weighs a ton. Hip, 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 hippopotamus. Hip, hip, hooray, God made all of us. Hip, 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 hippopotamus. Hip, hip, hooray, God made all of us. In the beginning, God made the seas and the forest filled with trees. He made the mountains up so high. At the top, he placed the sky. Fingerprints are everywhere, just to show how much he cares. In the middle, he had some fun. He made a hippo that weighs a ton. Hip, 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 hippopotamus. Hip, hip, hooray, God made all of us. Hip, 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 hippopotamus. Hip, hip, hooray, God made all of us. Whew. All right. No, don't sit down yet. Don't sit down yet. There's another one not on there that we're going to do. Oh, yeah. This is going to be fun. Huh? What? You read my mind. How many of y'all know Father Abraham? Okay, good. We only have to do this once. All right. And after this one, it'll be about time for us to do our next act.
It's a special event for us because Dennis Dowdy is with us from Tunica. And Dennis has worked with young people forever and a day and works with people in a good way. He's the new editor of the Bangor Messenger. As the Franks family enjoy very much continuing the same kind of success and that is going on for the world. 30,000 people receive that magazine throughout the world. And so it's a good time to do it. Dennis Dowdy is now our speaker.
Thank you very much, Brother Robert. Thank you for allowing me to come and be with you and got my workout done already this morning. Thank you, Brother Zane. I really like the hippo song because my favorite Christmas song is All I Want for Christmas is a Hippopotamus. So I really got associated with the hippo song. Thank you all for inviting me. It's good to be here. I always enjoy coming over to Crockett. I've been to Crockett a few times, but I've never gotten to preach, Brother Robert. I've never got to preach right up here. And you know, I just think this would, you got a great place to preach because I don't have one of these bears that you can come and you can lean on. And then you can come over here, you know, and just really get down with it good and down. But, so one of these days you can invite me back and let me preach up there at the big pulpit. So good to be with you all. I thank you for coming and looking forward to the day with you. I appreciate our neighboring congregation. You know, we're kind of the closest thing to us, really, is the Prophet congregation. So I appreciate very much of this church and your history, and it's great having Brother Robert in our area, a guy that I don't even know when I first met Robert. It's been so long ago that I can't remember, and so we appreciate Brother Robert and what they are doing here with the congregation. All right, I guess some of you have heard about this coronavirus. And getting to be kind of a dangerous thing, isn't it? It's kind of a really contagious disease. It's a virus, and I'm not sure if that is transmitted through the air or by touch, but it is something very contagious, and it can be fatal, as we have heard. There are several hundred people now, even into the thousands, that have died from this very contagious disease, and not something we want to be a part of. I was listening as I was driving to the building this morning. They were interviewing a couple that stuck on a cruise ship, and they got on quarantine. As I listened to them talk about it, they were fine. They were having a good time. They were in their big stateroom, and they'd go out of the balcony and got three meals a day brought to them, and they didn't seem to be in too big of a hurry to get off that ship. So, but it is a contagious disease that we are concerned about. What we're going to talk about today is found in Luke chapter 17 about another very contagious disease during biblical times. It's still around today, but it really was around much more prevalent in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. And we're talking about leprosy and the terrible disease called leprosy. We have that famous story of Naaman the leper in the Old Testament. So it existed a long, long time. Let me tell you a little bit about what leprosy was and is even today in some third world countries. First of all, leprosy is kind of in the Bible, kind of a general term a little bit. There were several different kind of variations of the disease. But generally, leprosy came about as a result of very poor hygiene. Now, in our day and age, we have a lot better hygiene than they had in Jesus' time. For example, we have very nice clean restrooms that we can go to in our homes and different places, and they didn't have that in Jesus' day. So that type of hygiene was not very prevalent. They also did not bathe and clean as much as we do. I imagine some of you probably take a bath or a shower. How many of you take a bath or a shower every day? See, look at that. That's pretty good. That's pretty good there, Brother Robert. You've got a very clean group here. But in Jesus' day, they didn't have those kind of facilities. And so germs and things of that nature, poor hygiene, resulted in this disease that we know of as leprosy. And what leprosy did, it began to break out on your skin, and you begin to get sores, and you begin to get infections. One of the things that it did, it began to affect your voice box, and so lepers begin to kind of lose their voice almost. It became very difficult for them to even speak. And many times it was fatal then, a fatal disease. They didn't have any treatments for it. But it was also very contagious. And so they were taught in the Old Testament that if you had leprosy, you had to withdraw from society. You had to stay outside of the city limits. You had to leave your house. And if someone had leprosy in a house, that house had to be go in and cleansed thoroughly, and sometimes even burned if the leprosy disease was so bad. And so these lepers would hang out together and try to help each other out because they were not allowed in the city. And if they came close to someone, they couldn't get very close. They would have to shout, "Unclean, unclean," and they would keep people away from them in the society. So we want to then look then at this story about Jesus and some lepers. Jesus had cured a lot of leprosy. There are many stories about the lepers that Jesus cleansed, and this is one of them that I want us to look at today. This is Luke 17. I'm going to begin reading here at verse 11 as we work through this a little bit together. It says, "While he," that is Jesus, "was on his way to Jerusalem," this is the time when Jesus made his final trip before his death to Jerusalem. A lot of things happened on that journey. He's got all of his apostles with him, all of their families. They're on their way in a large entourage, making their way down the side of the Jordan River before they would cross the Jordan and go up into Jerusalem for the Passover. So this is that one last great journey. A lot of interesting things happened along the way, and this is one of them. It says, verse 12, "As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices." They don't have very strong voices, but together they raised their voices as much as they could, and they shouted to him, "Master, have mercy on us." This is a disease for which there is no cure. Yes, sometimes a person would overcome this disease. His immunity system would eventually win out, and so sometimes men were able to be cured of that disease. But generally speaking, it was a fatal disease. Have mercy on us. I'm sure that they knew Jesus had been healing leprosy for some 3 years. And they're in the area of the country where everybody knew about Jesus. And so they knew that this was maybe their last chance, their last hope of perhaps being cured of this disease. And so they unite their voices, their weak voices together. Master, Master, as Jesus is getting ready to enter the village which they cannot follow him into, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, so here Jesus, he sees that and he stops. And he goes over close to them, which generally you would not do. And he sees these 10 men in their deplorable, rotting flesh, sore-filled faces, hands, in their rags. And he sees them and says, go and show yourselves to the priest. Why did Jesus tell him to do that? Well, that was the proper thing for people to do if they thought that they had been cured of their leprosy. The old law taught, you know, the law of Moses was not just a spiritual law about how to worship, but it also gave them a lot of the things they were to do health-wise and government-wise. And so the teaching was that if you thought someone had leprosy, they would call a priest, and the priest was given instructions in the old law as to how to look at that person and diagnose whether they had leprosy or not. And if they did, that person was out of the community. But if you thought you had been cured, if you thought you had been healed, if you were getting better, you were taught by the old law to go to the priest, because the priest would diagnose. He would look at your skin, he would look at the sores, and if he thought you were getting better, he would make that determination. So before you could enter back into society, you had to first go to the priest. And so these men must have thought, well, perhaps we will get to the priest and we can show him that we're getting better because we've met with the Savior. And so here this group of men, they leave what Jesus has said, and they begin to go their way to find the priest. And as they go, they begin to look, and they begin to see that they are being cleansed. Their skin is being cleansed of this dreaded disease. As they are going, they are cleansed. What a great feeling that must be. And so we read them, as they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face and his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. So they're going their way, this group of 10 men, they're going their way, and as they are going, they begin to see that they are cleansed. And so these men begin to rush toward the priest to show them that they are cleansed, and as they are rushing, one of them stops. And he looks back, and there stands the Lord. Maybe a little smile on his face. Maybe the Lord gave him that thumbs up. And the man comes running back, shouting with a loud voice now that he has, praising God, and he falls down at the very feet of Jesus, thanking him for this cleansing that he has endured. And this man was a Samaritan. Samaritans were not generally accepted or liked by the Jewish nations. They were a group of people when they came back from Babylonian captivity, Israel did hundreds of years before. They had begun to intermarry with the local people, and that was kind of forbidden by the old law. And so they begin to be ostracized. And in Jesus' day, they lived in an area called Samaria, which Judea was down here, Galilee up here, and in the middle was Samaria. So that when Jesus and Israel, when Jews would travel from Jerusalem up to Capernaum, a very important city, they wouldn't go through Samaria. They would go around because they did not want to have anything to do with Samaritans. You know, Jesus often praised the Samaritans. And I'm sure some of the Jewish leaders didn't like that. You ever heard the story of the Good Samaritan? The two priests went around on the other side, but it was a Samaritan that stopped to help the man. So this was interesting that among the Jewish men, nine of them went running back to show themselves to the priest, but one of them came back, and that one that came back was a Samaritan. And so he comes back, and he is praising the Lord, bowing down at his feet, thanking him for what has been done. And Jesus looking at him, I'm sure was grateful that this man had done that. Here's the crux of the story. The word crux is the Latin word for cross, kind of the center of things. Just as Christianity, the center of Christianity is the cross, the crux of the matter that we say. And so verse 17 says, and Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 that I cleansed? Where are the 9? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up, your faith has made you whole. I think it is important as we look at this story that there's the significance of the story in many ways. What do we learn from the story? We learn, of course, of Jesus' power to heal us of a dreaded disease. And you know, we all, leprosy was a disease of the body. We have a spiritual form of leprosy called sin that is also a disease of the body. Leprosy was fatal. There was no cure for it. Sin is also fatal. The wages of sin is death. And so we're dying, our physical bodies are dying because of this leprosy we call sin. And as a result of that, well, there is no cure except through Jesus, who was able to cure us of the wages of sin, which is death. So here this one man comes back thankful to the Savior for what he's done for him. But Jesus' question to him is one I want us to think about this morning. But where are the 9? Where are the 9? We all should be thankful to God. And we all should show our gratitude to God for what he has done for us. When I get up on Sunday morning and look out across my audience, as Brother Robert does here too, That's the question that Robert and I are always asking. Where are the nine? Where are those that Jesus has cleansed, but they have not returned to worship, to give thanks to Him? Where are the nine? The lesson here is twofold. The lesson here tells us, first of all, that we need to have great gratitude for what is done for us. We need to learn how to say thank you to others. I want you to think, young people, with me for a minute about the gratitude that we need to show to others. First of all, we need to be grateful, young people, to your parents. About 3 months ago, I lost my mom. Mom was 92 years old. She was in pretty good health until the last year of her life. As it got very critical, my sister came in, and between my sister and I and my wife helping, we stayed with Mom 24/7. She began to go down. And that was not easy to do, both in time and emotion. But as I would go and spend several days in her apartment and be with her, I knew that this was not easy. Then I thought about my gratitude to my parents. I have out in my car, I carry it in my glove box. And when I reach in to get stuff, I always see that picture. It's a little torn picture, a little small, little black and white picture. And it's a picture of my mom and me sitting on some old steps. A little black and white picture. And I'm about 3 years old, I guess. And when I see that picture, I think of there for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, my mom put everything aside in her life to take care of me. From the time I was born, she fed me, she changed my diaper, she made sure I was taken good care of. My mom did that for me for years until I became old enough to do some of those things myself. Be grateful, kids, for your parents. Be grateful for the love that they have for you and how much they care for you. And when they tell you to do something, remember it's because they care for you. They want to help you and to do the right thing. So be grateful for your parents. You've got good parents. Just thank the good Lord. Be grateful for your childhood. Just think of the kids around the world that are struggling in the middle of war, that are struggling in the middle of a third world country. I've got a good college buddy of mine, Steve Watson. He's very involved in sending boxes of goods to Venezuela now because they can't get basic stuff for kids. And so we're sending diapers and baby formula and baby aspirins and just things of that nature. They can't get that in Venezuela. Those kids are suffering the ravages of extreme poverty brought on for many reasons. Be thankful for what you have in this country. And come to this place, or come to the place where you worship, and thank God for what you have. So be grateful for your mom and dad. Be thankful for them. Secondly, we need to be grateful to others and for what they do for us in life. My oldest daughter, she has her career almost all of her life, and she's still doing it now. All her life, she has been a waitress. She got into being a waitress when she was in college, and she learned how to do a good job there and to wait on her customers and be good to them. And, And she always has known that she depends on those tips that they leave. And she's always talked to me, Dad, I waited on this table a big dinner and they left me almost nothing. And so when she and I would go out to eat with the family or something, you know, I would want to leave a couple of dollars and she'd say, Dad, come on, you know. That waitress, she did a good job for us. Let her know, you know. So anytime I'm with her, I tell you, I have to leave a really good tip. We need to learn to be gracious and grateful to people that serve us and that we run into every day. We need to try to help those that help us. So when you go into a restaurant, be grateful to that waitress and give her a good tip. But also, learn to say thank you to that neighbor that does something for you, or to that, to your grandparents that do something special for you. Learn to be helpful to others in that way. Learn how to say thank you for people that are gracious and that help you out in life. Don't be like the nine that didn't have the courtesy to even turn back and just wave at the Lord in a sense of saying thank you. Take the time to say thank you, to be grateful to those people that help you. We are helped so much by so many people, it's really hard for us to even understand it. But learn to be grateful for those that bless your life in many ways. Learn how to say thank you. You know, take that time just to say thank you. Take that time to write somebody a note, to make a call or send a text. Just to let people know you appreciate what they do for you. And then finally, we need to show our gratitude toward God. God has been good to us. God has blessed us in so many ways. But God is the one that is curing us of this dreaded disease of sin that we must endure. Jesus cleansed the 10 lepers. Jesus cleansed the whole world of sin through his death on the cross. And we need to be grateful for what God has certainly done for us. We are a washed clean in the bath and the waters of baptism. Our sinful flesh is made clean again through our faith that we have in God and Christ. And then after you have been cleansed, give God the thanks. Worship him every day. Worship him. You know, one of the most important things in my life takes place every week. And it's what I build my life around. It's what I start every week with. It's my way of being like that Samaritan, of coming and bowing before the Lord and giving thanks to him. And that thing is the Lord's Supper. It's the beginning of my week. That kind of gets everything back to the starting point of giving thanks to God. And don't ever, ever, ever minimize going to be with God's people on a Sunday morning and giving thanks to Christ by remembering the body that he gave, the blood that he shed, of saying thanks to God. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us as we partake of that memorial meal. And in doing so, we do proclaim to the world. We do proclaim to the world, Paul said, that death until he comes, and always be grateful and thankful for what he has done for us. And so the story here of the 10 lepers, where are the 9? Let's always make sure that we're the one that comes back to give thanks to Him. Thank you, Brother Robert, for this time. Thank you very much.
Amen. Where are the 9? And we wonder about that a lot of times in our lives. Maybe it's because we're out in the country congregation.
We have a lot of things that